All right, here we go. We are rolling, and it's time for another episode of the Ticket Studs. Today, we are going to be drafting the year 2005, one of Littell's favorite years, based on his pre-draft research and data.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many picks. Like, how do you start?
Well, starting today in the one spot, we have Salemi, we have Arvin at 2, Littell at 3, and I am on the turn at 4. Let's go, boys. Salemi.
All right.
Just write in Wedding Crashers.
Yeah. Oh, I'm going to go with Wedding Crashers, and I swear to God, if this backfires on me, because this was not my game plan.
Well, don't listen to me. Go with your heart.
You had a game plan?
I do.
Tell us about that.
I don't like that tone either. So,
I'm sorry. I'm a student of history.
I am going to go with Wedding Crashers as my comedy. It could have been, that's not a duh moment for anyone listening, because I could have gone with Blockbuster for it, but I'm going to go with it as my comedy. And I honestly think it might be one of the funniest movies I've ever seen.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow.
Ever. It tops all the supposed funny movies of the 1980s. This is far superior than any of those.
Mom, the meatloaf.
Yes. And when they cross each other on the staircase after he's just been flashed by the mom. And did you motorboat? You motorboating son of a... Vince Vaughn is amazing.
He's peak Vince Vaughn in that movie.
Oh, my God.
I mean...
Sitting when he's at
the
dinner
table.
That's
like the height of the mountain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh. And my favorite scene of all time is the previous night when he's been tied up and a sock's been stuffed in his mouth and... he's almost been violated by different members of the family.
He went through a lot that night.
They go down and they eat breakfast together, and he just wants to take off, and Owen's got to convince him to stay. Yeah, funny stuff.
You talk about food in a movie. That breakfast looks amazing.
Oh, my God. Right?
Everything he piles on, and then the syrup, little top off.
Little top off.
So good.
And he shoves the muffin in his mouth in 2 bites.
I love you, too.
I love you, too. Littell's a little.
What's
wrong? Are you proud? Are you happy about what you've done?
What's wrong? That's not.
You realize this is like my favorite movie of all time.
So yeah, you find it funny too.
I'm seething right now.
Who drew the first card? Whose fault is this?
Be Littell.
Oh, that's right. You know what you should have done? You should have done what I did and picked your own card.
Well, let's see if you. What pick do you have this round?
Third.
Let's see if you can figure out what movie you could steal from me that will just...
That'll hurt.
Oh.
I will say the dance sequence for Twist and Shout is pretty fantastic.
Yeah, all the scenes spliced...
All
the scenes spliced together from all the different weddings.
Oh, yeah, that montage is...
Brother Show.
Oh.
It's just...
That's a top-level montage.
Yeah, it's just a very funny movie.
Christopher Walken is... excellent in the whole movie. He's just like a good straight man, but also he's Christopher Walken, so he makes it really funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, his that redhead. What's that actress's name?
No idea.
Yeah, she's hilarious. She's married to, what's his name?
They're divorced.
Really?
Sacha Baron Cohen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They got divorced?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So what you mean they're married?
They were married.
We apologize to them.
Yeah.
Part of
we'll edit that out. Yeah. We don't want a lawsuit.
Yeah.
And part of what's funny is just the physical difference between her.
Yeah.
And, like, she makes Vince Vaughn look even more like a giant standing next to her.
Who's the her jock fiance?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper,
dude,
right.
But that's Fishers.
That might be one of the first times I saw Bradley Cooper, too. Like,
same.
He's a prick in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
When he just lays this spot out over and over.
Oh, that football game?
Yeah.
Sack lunch.
Football game.
Yeah, but Vince gets last blow in the movie. When he comes running up onto the wedding altar,
yeah,
good film.
Arvin, you're up.
Oh, excellent. So I'd like to apologize to everyone because this is the least prepared that I've ever been for one of these. I left my iPad that had my list on it at home.
Not a good year to be unprepared.
I know, right? So I did all of it yesterday. I'm good.
We'll try
thank you. I appreciate the thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do feel a little bit like Salimi in episode one. Where I don't know exactly, but I mean this in like an honest way. Like I don't know, like, cause usually I'm like, all right, this is what I'm going to pick for this category and this is what I'm going to do for the other one. And I don't have that at all. But I do know where I'm going to start. So I'm going to go ahead and start with Batman Begins.
Yeah. I don't want to play anymore, guys.
Yeah. You had to have known that was coming.
Dumb.
I mean, so like, when I was looking at the list, I literally was like, well, like, I've got to start this, assuming that Littell doesn't snake it from me. So, yeah, Batman Begins is the spot to start. I'm going to take it as, I think I'm going to take it as Academy Award, too. Just,
sure.
Just for fun. You know? So there's that. So I'll have to go back to the well for a...
So now you're down to your third movie on your list, Littell.
I didn't get that far.
You didn't get that far? Oh, man. Jeez. Might I suggest Harry
piece
Potter?
It together. No, that's one of the worst Harry Potter movies.
What? The goblet and the fire?
Yeah. I mean, Voldemort coming back is cool. Mm-hmm. That's the best part of the whole
Spoiler.
Movie.
Spoiler.
I think you mean Tom Riddle.
Jeez. Yeah. So it's my turn?
It's your turn.
I don't want to say anything else.
We're not going to say anything else about Batman Begins?
That's like, I love that movie.
I love that movie. Oh, it's fantastic. Yeah.
You know what? I've seen the first
really
one.
Really starts the I feel, greatest trilogy of Batman.
I've seen the first one more than... The Dark Knight.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I like it a lot.
I mean, they got a 3-year head start.
Yeah.
Well, and also, I love the depiction of Ra's al Ghul in this movie. It's very comic accurate. And also the depiction of Scarecrow and his fear gas.
Cillian Murphy's really fantastic in it, too. So like, good. I think he's underrated
as a
Batman
freak,
villain.
Man.
Like,
yeah.
He does an excellent job. I mean, it's similar to Red Eye, which I think is also on this list,
yes,
right?
It is.
Like, he's great in that movie. Like, that movie kind of came out of nowhere for me, too. But I thought he was really good. And then Christian Bale just as Batman. Yeah, that's the thing, is I feel like
I did enough.
He almost was like a side character. Like, yeah. He's underrated in his own, like, villain turn, which is the first time that Scarecrow had been used as a Batman villain, which... Well.
And he's such a good villain.
And in a grounded, like, realistic universe like this, like, he's fantastic. I mean, he's so good that they were like, well, we're bringing him back for the sequel, too, just in the very beginning.
I'll tell you who's underrated, too, is Tom Wilkinson. Carmine Falcone.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like a dog.
Yeah.
Like a
he's
dog.
He's great in everything he's in, man.
Yeah. He's really good in this, too. Yeah.
He's one of the, it's like Tom Berenger, Tom Skerritt, Tom Sizemore, Tom Wilkinson.
The Toms
mm-hmm. that aren't Cruz or Hanks. They're like the beat Toms, which sounds like a percussion instrument. But when you find out that I'm pretty sure he's English.
Mm-hmm.
Which most of Nolan's movies, it's all these British and Welsh people doing American accents. He's so good at Carmine Falcone.
Yeah.
The
Absolutely
scene where
true.
Christian Bale's going to kill him, and then he gives him that little...
That's what I'm saying.
Story, yeah.
Begged.
Yeah. And also,
like a dog.
Yeah. Michael Caine as Alfred.
Oh,
he's
so
such
good.
A good Alfred.
So much
I think
heart to the role.
I think he's the best Alfred, too. Like, I have a soft spot for Michael Goh from Batman 89 and Batman Returns. But
worst Alfred?
Man. Has there been a bad
I feel
one?
Like they've always been, like, the good part. Like, even, like, the bad.
Yeah.
Like, the Affleck, was that Jeremy Irons?
Jeremy Irons is that one.
Good. And then Circus is the new one.
Yeah, but that's a weird.
Yeah, like if I had to pick a bad out, I think I'd go Irons, but mm-hmm. I mean, bad is such a relative term there. I think it's not bad at all.
I would say it's not his fault, though, because the whole movie's kind of bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty bad. Also, Alfred
like obsessed
should,
with Superman.
Yeah.
Alfred should always, like, there should be a good 20-30 year gap between Batman.
Yeah.
Like, you should be able to, he should seem
besides looking like his older brother,
right?
Yeah.
Right. It just doesn't fit. No, he has to be someone who was in his 30s when Batman is, you know, 6-7 years old to begin with.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing, I think this is also where DC's mistakes really began, because if you're going to build a cinematic universe, why don't you just build off of this trilogy and go from there? Put a Superman into that world. Put, mm-hmm. you know, a Green Lantern into that world. Like, and
could
just
they
have it be, like, realistic. I don't, like, why not, right?
Well,
like, it's all
know,
Warner Brothers, so.
I didn't know contractually if Nolan had negotiated in some way where, like, this
That's
is me
question.
Doing my thing and you can't.
It might have been. I mean, Nolan, especially like by the end, I don't know if in Batman Begins he would have had that kind of cache, but
yeah,
by the end he would have, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
Because they like when they brought him back, they were like, okay, we'll just here's the keys.
It would have made sense to do Justice League off that.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That'd
but they obviously
like do Man of Steel and like put it into like this Batman and like back a Brinks truck up to Christian Bale's house to get him to be like an older like observing Batman who you know kind of like helps them along the way and like finances things like
kind of like what I mean that's what Affleck's role was in Justice League. I mean that was like the Dark Knight Returns storyline. He's the older grayer
right Bruce and Wayne. I feel like you know hey just. Do that with this. We've already got all these fun toys and all the stuff, and you know, So
Littell, 3.
Did we give you enough time?
I can't wait.
All right,
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Well, where are you going with this, bro? Now I'm just gonna have to just take what I want.
That's how the whole draft works.
Yeah, that's but generally, like, what we do.
I don't have a plan anymore, so I'm just gonna go with.
What was your plan to begin with?
I don't want
to
talk about
it. I'm going to start with Wedding Crashers, and then in the next round, I'm going to get Batman Begins.
I'm going to take my drama, my action drama thriller. I'm going to go Lords of Dogtown.
Oh, nice.
Ooh.
It's one of my all-time favorite movies, actually. Just nice. Like the start of kind of skating in the 70s in Santa Monica. Talk about like Tony Alva, Stacy Peralta, Jay Adams. Who are the actors?
Heath Ledger. I don't really.
A lot of them play themselves, though. Like, Tony Alva plays himself. Peralta directed the movie, I think.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Jake Peralta?
Night-night? No. Stacy Peralta.
Oh, okay.
One
cool.
of
Who's the
noise,
main...
Noise.
The main character in Lords of Dogtown?
I'd probably...
Because...
Tony Alva, which is Heath Ledger.
He's Skip. The guy who...
Emile Hirsch?
Emile Hirsch
is
Jay.
That's who it is,
yeah.
Emile Hirsch. That's who I was trying to think
of. And then
of.
Tony Alva. Those are like the three.
And his mom's a famous actress, too. You can barely tell it's her, too. Do you? Anybody? No?
I've never seen it.
Nope.
You've never... It's good, man.
I've also never seen it.
It's really good.
Wow.
I heard great things and meant to see it, but...
Fantastic.
Well, when you say you heard great things... You could have taken this for misunderstood because Lords of Dogtown is right at the cusp of 55%.
Are you serious?
Yes,
Dude,
I was shocked.
So good.
It is. It's a really good movie, and you can barely tell it's Heath Ledger as Skip.
Oh yeah,
That is amazing. Emile Hirsch is really good at it in his role. Just from start to finish, it's way better than I. Yeah. Like I saw what the trailer was. What the movie was about. I had no interest in watching
it
at
fine,
all.
But it doesn't look like it's going to be really... And then, like, all the reviews that I read, at least, were, like, glowingly positive about it.
Yeah, so 55 that's from critics, 81 from audience.
Wow.
Hey, while you're on there, find out who his mom is. Like, she's a big-time actress.
I always got this movie confused with Alpha Dog. Because they came out around the exact same time. Emile Hirsch is the main guy in both.
Oh, yeah, he is.
And I was like, I'm not interested in either one. I'm not a surfer skater fan. Okay. But then I watched Alpha Dog, and I was like, oh, this is good. It's based on a true story. And
I didn't realize Fincher was the executive producer on this. Sofia Vergara is in it. Catherine Hardwick directed. Nikki Reed was Kathy Alva. Rebecca De Mornay.
That's who it is. Rebecca De Mornay is the mom. And again, you gotta squint because she's lived a hard life and it's portrayed that way.
Yeah, if you ever wanna get a glimpse into skating in its infancy in kind of Santa Monica. And also there are some real, real adult themes that come up in this movie about like drug use, alcoholism,
also
just the lifestyle.
Staying true to yourself and not selling out and are you really selling out when, you have all these kids were poor as hell and all of a sudden these people coming in offer them big money?
Sponsorships and stuff.
Right. Yeah. Skateboarding was, and I don't know anything about skateboarding. This is just from the movie, but skateboarding was pretty tame as far as what you did. And these kids came in and just completely changed it as far as the tricks that they did. And they didn't care if you wiped out, if you completely blew it, who cares? If you attempted to do something spectacular, they're like, oh, yeah, let's do that again. It was a really good movie. honestly, I just was flipped through the channels. It's one of those. It's 2005, so my kids are 4 and 3. There are a lot of mornings that start at 3 a.m. for me, and I would just, whatever happened to be on, I was flipping channels, and I started watching that probably halfway through and got hooked. So then when I came back around, I watched the whole thing. But no, I had, if you would have ever just said, hey, let's sit down and watch Lords of Dogtown, I would, no, I'm not doing that. Skateboarder movie? No, thank you.
That's how I was. No, yeah. But now I feel like I need to watch it.
But it is a lot more than just a skateboarding movie.
It is. Say. Yeah.
All right. I'm up on the turn, 2 in a row. There's a few things I could do here. I'm going to go with my Oscar nom.
Thank God.
And I'm going to take Walk the Line.
Mm, good movie.
Johnny Cash story. Joaquin Phoenix is great.
Yes.
Reese Witherspoon wins her Oscar playing June Carter Cash.
She is also great in the movie.
Also, one of the reasons I kind of want to watch A Complete Unknown, because I don't like Bob Dylan's music, but James Mangold is such a good director that I'm going to watch it because it's another musician that we're going to see his story. Like, yeah, I'm in. I'm going to watch it.
Did he do Walk the Line?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, wow. So he's found his genre, huh?
Bios, too.
He's done a lot of different stuff, but yeah, he's come back around to doing another music bio.
And Joaquin did his own singing, correct?
Yes.
And Reese did her own singing?
Mm-hmm.
Did Timothy, whatever?
Yes, Chalamet.
Okay, he did his own singing in this. Okay.
Which I think is even more impressive. Yeah. You're talking about iconic voices.
Yes.
And to not even sound like a parody or a cheap imitation, like, it's clearly not the artist, but it's really good. I love that. And it's just a great story. I mean, that movie, I don't know that this would have been my number one overall pick, but based on how thin some of the categories are, I'm definitely going to take that.
A great movie.
Love it. All right. Let's see what else is thin here.
Did you know before the movie that Johnny Cash like hung out with Elvis Presley and
I learned Jerry a lot. Lewis.
I never would have occurred to me that Johnny Cash was a quote unquote rock and roller with those guys. That was pretty wild when I saw that scene. I thought, I had no idea your popularity was like at that level.
It's just so funny how you see the transition of music over time where Johnny Cash comes along. He's the outlaw. He's the rocker. He's the whatever. And now country has gone so pop/mainstream that, oh, man, I miss traditional country like, you know, Johnny Cash. It's like 1960s, they wouldn't have said that.
Right.
1970s, they wouldn't have said that.
We were wondering that when we watched the Texans football game on Christmas Day and Beyonce was doing her show.
Like, that's as country as it gets, man.
All those 60-year-old country fans, like, are they watching this thinking, what has happened? Where is Willie Nelson? Where is Johnny Cash?
I was really hoping that they were going to bring out, like, a George Strait.
Something just to bridge it.
Like, when they brought out Aerosmith and then NSYNC was there, and then Mary J. Blige shows up, you're this is kind of cool. It's like a celebration of whatever. Still a great show, but yeah, it would have been cool to kind of juxtapose it. All right, my next pick, I'm going action, drama, thriller. And I'm going to go with Lord of War.
Oh, nice.
Started with an L and I got worried.
I love the opening sync with
this. I left it for you. I really did think about taking... I'm not going to say it.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about layer cake.
You're the one who gave it away by saying a little...
Do I pick before you?
Right before. Before.
Oh, okay.
So
I will forever take every Star Wars movie whenever I can.
He's about to take the Revenge of the Sith.
I hope so.
Unless Littell takes it. Oh no! We should really put parlays on our bet. Who's going to draft what?
So Nicolas Cage, Lord of War.
I don't know that there's an actor with a wider range of quality of movies.
Oh,
from
man.
Absolute how did this get made, like, I don't know, Trapped in Paradise, versus...
Wow. You really didn't like it.
Jeez. That's a shot.
To just such good movies.
Valley Girl.
Did you say Valley Girl?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one.
Don't. But he's in it.
It's just funny because you take a look at Gone in 60 Seconds, which I like. When we do the 2000 draft, I'll take that as misunderstood.
It's a
first,
fun
I don't
film.
Care.
It's a fun movie.
But then you watch Pig, and then you watch Leaving Las Vegas, and you watch
Leaving
Lord of
Las
War,
Vegas
like,
is an amazing movie.
Dude, he's such a great actor when he wants to be, and he's not being like Face Off Nicolas Cage.
And he's Coppola's nephew. Is that the lineage? Okay.
And how great
I
is
about that? That's true.
He gave up his last name, right?
He was in Fast Times. He was listed as Nicolas Coppola.
Yeah.
But then after that became Nicolas Cage because he didn't want to be associated as like a nepo or whatever. Mm-hmm. But Jared Leto in Lord of War.
Like, he's real good in that.
He nails that character.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately, because then he got a lot of acting roles that he really should not have
gotten. He did not deserve.
He either really nails it or he kind of like Dallas Buyers Club.
Yeah,
was phenomenal.
Yeah,
I'd say he's pretty decent.
He was great in you can only watch it once.
I agree.
Requiem for a Dream.
Ah,
Oh,
that
geez.
Is a brutal, brutal movie.
But how good is he in that though?
Yeah, but know? Also I think Aronofsky's direction gives him a lot.
That's fair. But Lord of War, it's an original story that I hadn't seen. It was a look into, and who knows how. You know, the truth or what it's based on a couple of different arms dealers, one main guy.
Merchant of Death.
Ethan Hawke as the good guy, the cop.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's ATF or FBI or whatever he is, but he's almost got him. The scene where they take apart the plane overnight. Dude, it's just so good.
It is so good.
Yeah.
The whole opening sequence with the bullet traveling.
Oh,
yes.
So
when
that
I
was
saw
really
that,
creative.
Blew my mind. Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm in for
I still remember
an
it.
All-timer like, movie.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really cool. I mean, this was actually really high on my list, so good job.
Well done.
Littell, you're up. Don't take Revenge of the Sith.
But you could have layer cake.
He's never seen it.
I have not.
What?
I know.
Man. I know.
Daniel Craig.
Okay. I might as well just pick my blockbuster, get that out of the way. Yeah, I think I will take Revenge of the Sith, actually. So,
sorry.
Easily the best.
This is the only reason that I picked
just
a year.
Talking all that shit earlier now. I
oh, okay. Yeah, no, that's fine. That's really fine. That's totally fine. First you take Alien, and then you take... Okay, go ahead. Talk about your movie.
This is what I love. The more we do these, the more we're not going to care about taking each other's.
It's all right. All right, next.
Layer cake.
Yeah.
Yes. Let's spread the misery around.
It's easily the best of the prequel movies.
Oh, but easily.
Not
so
better than
minute,
Phantom
wait
Menace.
Wait a minute. I just want to...
Shut up.
What are you talking about?
Do you really... I'm being serious here. Do you really like the movie, or are you just saying it's the best of the prequels? Because that's like...
Both, yeah.
I mean, that's...
I like it, and it's the best of the prequels.
But the prequels were not that good.
Hang on.
They're not
good. Let's ask one question. How old were you when you saw this movie?
I saw it in theaters. I was 9, I think.
Okay,
nine,
that's...
Ten.
There you go.
That's different.
I mean...
Yeah, different.
It is the best prequel movie.
Oh, no. I as a Star Wars fan, I fully agree with that statement. I was legitimately looking forward to picking this movie.
Okay.
So
the soundtrack,
I'm on your team on that one.
Soundtrack is killer.
Any John Williams, though. I mean,
why can't
especially
I,
this era, John
Dooku?
Williams.
Dooku?
Not Dooku. Why can't I think of
Yoda?
What are you looking for?
I'm trying to remember his name without...
Emperor Palpatine?
No, not Palpatine.
Hansel.
General Grievous.
Grievous. Yeah. God, dude. The depiction of Grievous in this movie is so sick.
Yeah. Because
it's pretty similar to, like, the lore and the show, obviously, if you've seen the cartoon.
Yeah. 3 minutes at a time.
He's a menace. Mm-hmm. He's a menace, dude. I love watching him fight, especially once he gets all 4 lightsabers and he's just coming at Obi-Wan.
That whole scene when, like, Obi-Wan jumps down and just is all like, hello there. And he's like... Kenobi! Oh, okay. It's on.
The voice, too. I love his voice.
Matthew Wood did a fantastic job
so
with that
good.
Voice.
There was a show in 1999 that Hayden Christensen did called Higher Ground. It's about a camp for kids that have addiction problems and home problems. Mm. But I always thought that was funny. He was like on a show called Higher Ground, and then that's like
big line at the end.
The big line, yeah. That iconic scene for him.
And yeah. What an amazing, probably the best scene out of all the prequels.
Oh my god, that fight is so good. Like yeah. you think like, oh, nothing's gonna ever top like Darth Maul and that whole thing.
But dude,
and whoa, the like weight. They crushed it. And the fact that it's interlaced with the Yoda and Palpatine fight. I mean, it's like 20 minutes of driving action in a Star Wars yeah. movie that we've never seen before.
And then ending it with the birth of Darth Vader. It's like, beautiful.
Yeah.
Great. No, for real, it's like a perfect ending to this horrible, horrible prequel trilogy. Like, there are some redeeming moments, but this movie is genuinely good, and it's okay. easily the best part of that prequel.
Even the
franchise.
Opening scene with, like, the Starfighter fight.
So sick. Ugh. Did you play Star Wars Starfighter?
Of course
on, like,
I did.
GameCube?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It's like I'm living my dream.
Yeah.
Dude,
just 100%.
Would yeah. we have beat them up in high school?
probably.
Yeah,
reach.
No, I would have been best friends with y'all. Like Ebs, all my buddies were big into him. I'm like, it's all right.
Are you calling us dorks?
It's fine, whatever.
No.
Like, you
like what you
like. The executive producer is on every movie, and you're going to call us dorks for liking Star Wars?
The Rock?
All right, let's move on.
Oh, Arvin, you're up.
All right.
Look at these guys. They like really popular movies. Nerds.
That's
watch not, me take Harry Potter. I don't care.
That's not true.
You go ahead and take
this,
Harry Potter.
This movie that you're going to hear picked next after mine made only $2.3 million. So, you know, there's no. that. Okay, so I am going to pick, now that Revenge of the Sith is off the board.
You look so defeated over there.
It's tough. I'm going to go with my blockbuster movie.
Oh, well,
you're welcome, Salemi.
Yeah, take what you. It's
yeah,
right.
I know. I'm going to take the 40-year-old virgin.
No, nice. I thought about taking that with my second.
That was my.
It's so good. And if I can't have Wedding Crashers, then I want to have that. That's fair.
It's a strong year for comedy.
It is a really good year for comedy. Yeah. Like there's still a couple other ones that I'm like, oh, I could take that for comedy, and I'll still be fine. And
right.
and even if several of them go, like I'll still be okay. So, yeah, 40-year-old virgin. I feel like that really came out of nowhere because I knew Steve Carell from The Daily Show at that point, and that was about it. And, you know, we talked about, like, nerds and stuff, right? Like, that was like, oh, my God, this is like – this feels kind of like my life a
They're
little
like,
bit. Like,
even
oh
Steven.
Bags of sand.
Bags of sand. Like, that's not – no, bud. No. So, yeah, it was just – and it was hilarious. And, like, I hope you got a big trunk. Because I'm putting my bike in it. Like,
that's awesome. You know how I know your movie didn't age well?
How is it? Is that line bad? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Well, the whole...
You know. No.
Seeing eBay, too, in a movie is so
oh, right?
Now.
Yeah, that's
funny.
That's wild.
Having a physical location for eBay.
That was the first time I ever saw Jonah Hill in anything.
Oh, yeah.
He wanted to buy the...
Oh, yeah.
The David Bowie shoes or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the... The shoes with the goldfish in it?
I don't understand.
Like, can I just give you money now?
Can I just give you money now? No, that's not how it works. But I'm here. Like, yep. Which actually, I was doing a little bit of eBay selling at the time, too. So I was like, oh, cool. This is, I get it. So, yeah, I really liked it. And so that's the choice.
And no, not the bike scene didn't age well.
Oh, yeah, there's several other scenes.
You know how I know you're...
Oh, that yeah, that conversation. Scene did not end. Yeah.
That was a joke on that scene.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apparently they were just riffing for that.
Oh, I imagine most of that movie was just improv.
Oh,
yeah. Are you talking about
so
when they're
so.
Playing video games in front of the TV?
Seth Rogen and Paul Rudd.
Right.
Yeah. Apparently, well,
that is hilarious.
From what I remember, like that conversation went on for like 25 minutes.
And that wouldn't be surprising at all. Like that whole cast is just like really good at improv stuff. So, yeah.
So let me, you're up.
Man, him getting waxed is...
What you gonna take?
Watch.
It is.
Watch. Rips his whole chest hair off.
Oh, Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't you trim it first?
That was...
He just ripped
Well, you know,
the movie
he's
is called 40-year-old virgin, so...
That's fair.
I don't think he knew what he was even in for when they took him there.
No. Yeah, and that was real. So it was just like, let's film his real reaction to him getting waxed.
Oh, my God.
Good night. All right, I am going to take Layer Cake as my action drama thriller, and it is an amazing movie, and I think it's the first movie I ever saw Daniel Craig in.
Like, yeah,
this is pre-007 stuff, right?
Oh, yeah.
I watched it after Casino Royale, though.
Oh, did you?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, in hindsight, besides him and his love interest, Sienna Miller, is there anyone else in the movie that's like of note?
What's the movie
about?
Forgetting?
What is the movie about? Mm-hmm. It is a.
It's about Guy Ritchie.
It's crime. Yeah. It's not the underbelly of London crime. It's a little bit above the underbelly of, but it's criminals.
I remember you talking about this movie before.
Yeah, there's a scene where there's a contract out on Daniel Craig's character, and like whoever the hitman is, he's renowned. So Craig's really, really worried. So he hires a hitman to kill the hitman.
That's funny.
And then there is this scene where they set up a meeting in the park, and it did not go the way Daniel Craig thought. He thought he was being super sneaky. And then the hitman calls him on the phone. He's like, yeah, don't die. Try that again, please.
I did not remember that Tom Hardy was
there. Tom Hardy, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds no like kidding. Spivey Spy.
I was like, I knew there was one more. And there's Michael Gambon.
Yeah.
Dumbledore.
Ooh. I love Michael Gambon.
Yeah, that's way.
Oh, and he's second Cole Dumbledore, Meany. Right?
Cole Meany.
Second one?
Yeah, he's the better one of mine.
Oh, yeah, I do like him. That's the one guy in my head.
He's one of those. Yeah. He's that guy. Him.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
He's
that guy. Yeah, 100%. I didn't know he was in it, too. I love him.
Yeah, he's like one of Daniel Craig's advisors that he deals with. Mm-hmm. It's really hard to explain what Layer Cake is about other than it's typical Guy Ritchie type plot, different.
And not a Guy Ritchie movie.
No. Matthew Vaughn.
Did he help at all, though?
He was supposed to direct it.
Okay.
I think was a producer.
Did he? I thought it went
to Matthew Vaughn.
Yeah.
And then your boy Jason Fleming, who's in all Guy Ritchie's, he's in it.
Yeah, yeah.
He's great. I love Jason Fleming.
I highly, highly recommend it. It also features one of my favorite cult songs, She Sells Sanctuary. That's the intro to the movie, right? He's driving up to the clubhouse.
Ooh, it's been too long since I've seen it.
I'm pretty sure he's driving up to the clubhouse when they play that song.
The cast seems pretty stacked.
Oh, it's a nice check cast. It out.
There's quite a few.
There's one guy, and all they do is they show you like his torso. And there's an iron sitting on top of his chest.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Harry Potter actors in this. Kingsley, Shacklebolt.
Yeah.
That actor's in this.
What's that guy? George something.
That's Harris? All Stephanopoulos?
George Harris? George Stephanopoulos, yeah.
George Harrison.
The black man.
That guy?
Yeah.
That's Kingsley.
George Harris.
His buddy?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Daniel Craig's buddy in the film. He has a scene where he just beats the hell out of this homeless guy in a restaurant. And you're like, what just happened? And then later on in the movie, when they show it, you're like, why have you just gone, like, viciously goes at this dude. Right. And you're just, everyone's, and his cohorts who are with him, they're all like, what the hell just happened? And then he spins this yarn later on in the movie explaining who that guy was.
That's funny.
Yeah. But at the time, you're like, holy crap.
This is apparently the movie that made Daniel Craig James Bond, too.
Really?
I can see that.
I believe
Barbara Broccoli was like, oh,
yeah,
he'd be a good choice.
He's suave, sophisticated.
Yeah,
he feels like he's above the fray in that movie. Like, these people are sort of beneath me, and he's angling to get out of the game. And they're like, no, you're in. So there is no getting out.
Yeah.
You've got another pick.
Yeah, that came as a surprise to me, to be quite honest with you.
How many times have we done this?
Because that's how these things work.
I was kind of done.
See what I meant about being at a Salimi level of preparedness?
All right.
I was kind of kidding, but this is intense.
I am going to go with my Oscar, Hustle and Flow.
Well, he's not picking Kicking and Screaming.
Oh, man, I almost picked that up.
Hustle and Flow.
I was like, I know he likes this movie, and so do I. I might take it.
Yeah. Hard out there for a pimp.
It is. It is hard out there for a pimp.
And another movie that I had no interest in watching whatsoever and just ended up watching it one early morning, late night, who the hell knows which one it was. Like most of these movies, one of the two kids, if not both kids, were sleeping, or I was trying to get them to fall asleep next to me down in the living room. But yeah, Hustle and Flow. I just never would have in a million years thought that this movie would have any value whatsoever, and just blown away.
What's Terrence
Howard is amazing in the movie.
It's like some people who walk the walk, talk the talk, but usually they don't talk because they're walking. Isn't that from that movie?
It might
like
be.
Usually they don't walk because they're just walking.
Right. He has that last scene at the bar where he's drinking with, I don't even remember, who is the main rapper that the whole movie's based about, basically. Like, he wants to get next to this guy.
Ludacris' character.
And get him his tape.
I can't think of the names.
Yeah, I don't.
I remember Whoop That Trick.
Yeah.
Whoop That Trick.
And the prison guards at
that's
the end.
That's such a good song.
Like, hey, so are you the guy who, yeah, that's me.
It's one of those movies where you're like, you think to yourself, man, why don't they just make really good movies anymore? It's like, well, you just haven't seen them because you find these diamonds in the rough. You're like, oh man, they were making this. Like, this is so good.
And that there is literally there's no CGI involved. There's no special effects. It's just a story about a guy trying to
make it
right.
Yep.
And trying to overcome his circumstances. Who's the comedian Anderson, who is his straight friend who's married to the Bible thumping woman?
Anthony Anderson.
Yeah. He is really good in that too.
One of his best movies, I think.
Anthony Anderson?
Mm-hmm. Like, he has this Blackish Show and stuff that's pretty good, but I think this is probably one of his best movies.
The most he's ever made me laugh is in Harold and Kumar.
He is really funny in that movie. Yeah.
He's great in it for 45 seconds. Right. It's the hardest I laugh through the whole movie.
Yep.
And help me, who is the
help him
black? Is she, her last name's Henson? She does
Taraji P.
Yeah, she is phenomenal in the movie.
She's really good.
I think that was the first time I ever saw her in anything. It was that
nominated for an award that year too.
This movie got nominated for a couple awards, right?
Yeah,
for like music and whatnot.
I don't know if she got nominated for an actress or not.
It won an Oscar.
Was this before or after Baby Boy? Because I think that's
after.
It was probably like best original song.
That's the first
or something.
Movie I saw her in.
I think Baby Boy was 2001.
Taraji's in that
Sounds
one,
right?
Right?
It's early 2000s for sure.
That's the first one I saw her in.
All right, Arvin, back to you.
It was Best Achievement in Music is the one that they won.
But
and Terrence Howard was nominated for an Oscar for that.
The soundtrack for the whole movie is awesome.
Yeah. Nice. All right, so back to me.
Taking Shark Boy and Lava Girl?
Nah. You know what? Dead Air is fun. I'm gonna go ahead and take War of the Worlds.
Nice,
because there's a Spielberg available and I shall have it.
Action thriller drama.
I think that's where it's gonna go. Yep, action thriller drama. Because I assume it's not a Rotten Tomatoes thing. I didn't look it up, but I think it's really well done. Tom Cruise and Spielberg, both of their movies together were really good, and it's such a shame they don't really work together anymore, because I really liked, it was this and what was the other?
Minority Report.
And I love both of those. Like, they're just so good, and I thought this was always, War of the Worlds in general was always a show that kind of scared the crap out of me as a kid. Because there was like a late 80s, early 90s version of the show where like the aliens were like hiding inside and like in people basically. And it goes back to like the 1950s like movie with like the tripod, but like the tri-cornered ship that had like the weird thing that came out of it. And it always just freaked me out. So, but like literally like one of the things in that show was like you'd see this like three-fingered claw come out of people and just grab them by the face and then, oh, that person's now an alien. So it was kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers, but it was still War of the Worlds. And I think it maybe was a season or two long, something like that. But it was really scary because I was like 9, I think, when it came out, something like that. So I had that connection to it and I saw this and I was just like, oh man, this is really, really well done. And I think it's just... It's not one of Spielberg's like best movies of all time, but for me at least, it's probably top 10-ish.
Dude, the suspense he creates when they're in the basement with Ogilvy, Tim Robbins' character, and the eye is just kind of
The whole movie's underrated.
That is just like
just like that scene alone. Intense, I'm in. Man.
Yeah, I mean, I think he creates that tension with like little things better than anybody else. So, 100%. That scene is
the panic that they have when the ferry boat, and all of a sudden you hear the horn.
Yeah.
Like, that is also
the
really
sound
well
in that
done.
Movie, too.
Yeah. Like, oh, the sound
the sound's enough to just to freak you out, right? Like, you're like, oh, no. And then you see him, like, start to emerge and all that, and, oh, that part's awful. Like, and it really does a good job of, like, basically making you feel like, oh, we're screwed. Like, there's no way we're going to win. And then, ah, germs save us. You know, like,
thank God.
Whew, good job, microbes. Thank God you created an inhospitable planet, because otherwise we were done.
Well, it's so fascinating, too, just because the premise is they've always been here. And now they're waking up. And,
yeah.
Well, here we go. Mm-hmm. It's go time.
Who's the Tom Cruise's son in that film?
Yeah, the son is really good.
He's in Shameless.
He is really good.
And in Shameless, he's really good.
That's classic Spielberg, man. The father-son dynamic.
Yeah.
Like, when he's trying to get them out and the son's like, no, I'm going to go back.
Right.
You're like, oh, my God, man. It is so heart-wrenching.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Underrated movie, in my opinion.
It's good.
Deserves a lot more flowers.
What is that young man's name?
What is that?
Yeah,
him?
Justin
Chatwin.
Yeah, that is him. Tim Robbins, it's just the one scene he's in, right? The basement?
Yeah.
There's nothing else with him in there. Mm-mm. I didn't think so.
And yeah, they kind of happen upon him.
It is an intense scene.
Littell.
Yeah, and he's a pretty big name just to say, hey, here's a scene we want you to do.
I like little cameos.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to do my misunderstood, but I'm going to take...
Yes.
I'm going to take Constantine.
Oh, man. That was on my misunderstood list. Nice.
Yeah, what a great, great movie. The critics have no idea what they're talking about with this movie. Dude, the characters are so good. And, I love kind of any angel, demon, mythos. And to bring it into screen like this, I thought was really cool. Did any of you read the comic?
I was going to ask, was it a comic graphic novel?
Then, but I hadn't read it before I saw it.
Yeah, it started out as a comic book. I thought it was so good. And the guy who's the guy who plays the devil in that movie?
I've only seen bits of it.
You haven't seen it?
This is with Keanu Reeves, right?
Yes,
I haven't seen it either.
Oh, man.
Well, now I got to look
it up. It's
Al Pacino?
Apparently they're making a new one.
Oh, that's
yeah, they are going to make a new one.
Next year.
With Keanu?
Oh, this is going to bother me.
Oh, yeah. My. And Rachel Weisz.
He comes down to save, like, he's an angel killing demons, right? There's some wild fight
scenes.
He
keeps the peace.
Okay.
He's like a cop, kind of, for angels and demons and what so have you.
Yeah. I've seen bits and pieces of it, but I've never start to finish. I'm not the biggest Keanu fan. So,
I think this is one of his best acting movies ever. Truly. Like, he does a lot of really good
Peter
acting.
Peter Stormare.
Yeah.
Oh,
Peter
man.
Stormare. He's so good.
The wacko from Fargo.
Yeah.
The guy with
yeah.
Buscemi.
Oh.
Yeah, he plays Satan in this movie.
He's so good
he
as the bad
the
guy.
Devil?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, well, hell, I can see that.
It's yeah. So
you don't
good.
Even need him to do anything. Just put him in some clothes.
I think this might be the first time I saw Shia LaBeouf in anything, too.
Yeah, he was really young in this movie.
Oh, I don't remember
You didn't
that.
Watch Even Stevens? That's what? Twice
what's,
this brought
What's up. That?
It was a what? Disney Channel show.
That's fair.
But it was
I didn't have Disney Channel, you guys.
Steve Carell and Steve Colbert from Daily Show.
Oh, yeah.
Even Steven.
Oh, yeah. I remember seeing that. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's where the name...
Some parallel.
Gotcha.
But no, a lot of good fantasy, a lot of good, like, terror elements in the movie, too. Yeah. Like, there's some scarier scenes and some pretty great costume design for the demons in this movie. So
I remember... Like, what I have watched, I know the scenes look neat, the setting, the fight. All I can recall are basically fight scenes, and there's one where, I don't know, I feel like part of the building gets blown away as he's going through it or something and fighting a demon.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like so the whole premise is, like, he's basically trapped Constantine because he owes the devil his life, basically, but is working for God, so the devil can't take him until, like... He's done, basically.
Okay.
And then there's quite a big twist that happens at the end of the movie that is really
good. Well, maybe
really
I'll
good.
Sit through it and watch it.
It's not that long, and it's really good. So that's my misunderstood.
I'll give it a shot.
It's worth
Which
it.
Which is saying a lot, because Keanu...
I promise you it's better than what, Trapped in Paradise? Is that the... It's like that movie on steroids.
Seeing as the genres aren't even remotely connected. Okay. I don't get the whole Keanu. Most of his movies, I've tried. John Wick, the first one, I thought was all right. And then the other ones,
Well, that movie's basically an autobiography.
It's true. It's what I heard.
Yeah. Yeah. Him and Steven Seagal, right? They're both badass assassins.
Steven Seagal.
That might be the only time that guy's name is ever brought up on this podcast, by the way. Steven Seagal. Who was the other one in the 1980s who had action? He did Bloodsport. People thought he was...
Jean-Claude.
Yeah. Van Damme.
People thought he was, like, legit badass.
He was kind of, but not really.
Not in real life, yeah. No.
All right, I'm up. We got two picks back-to-back.
Good luck.
I hope you're ready for it.
Punk.
I wasn't.
I should have picked different categories.
In the six-week nap? What do you mean?
No, I mean my order of how I drafted, but it's all right. For wild card.
What? Oh, wow.
Well, really? What are you doing right now? Are we all Salimi right now?
I don't know.
No, no. I like this. This is helping me, I think.
The vibe is off.
What you going with, baby?
In the land of no notes, Salimi is king.
This has worked out well for me.
This is amazing.
Minority game. Report.
That's a sovereign.
All right. I don't care anymore.
We're halfway through. What has happened?
Hey, everybody. There's a good reason to keep listening.
For wild card, I'm going to go Jarhead.
Jarhead. Okay, yeah.
But it's before they called it Desert Storm. It's something. Oh. But it's that
Desert
early
Shield.
Desert Shield. That's it. Yep.
Yeah. It was Shield, and then it was Storm.
We're gonna cut all this anyway. This is
good.
Great.
Yeah. History. I don't want people learning anything from.
My God, no.
And for blockbuster.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna do it. Blockbuster: Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
Cool.
That was on my
list. He did it.
Cool. What do you like about that movie?
This guy does not like it at all.
That's fine. Just not my favorite.
It's my favorite book of the series.
It's a great book.
It's a great book.
I think it's one of the weakest movies.
Yeah, what probably.
I thought it was really good. Why do you say that?
I think it's fine. I think, like, the adaptation is just okay.
I think The Prisoner of Azerbaijan was my favorite one.
Yes. Yeah. The Prisoner of Turkmenistan is a really good one.
I haven't read any of the books, so I can't. I've just, like, the whole tournament that they have going on, I thought it was really
Triwizard fun. Tournament.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's cool.
Yep.
Plus, you get some Cedric Diggory action in there. I mean,
yeah.
Which was, who played him?
Robert Pattinson.
Before he was a vampire Batman.
Pattinson.
That's it.
He was good.
It's the first one where it starts to really get dark.
Yeah.
I thought Prisoner of Azkaban was pretty dark.
There were some parts, for sure.
Like, when you introduced the Death Eaters and the Dementors.
Yeah, but this is the first, unless, like, you'll know it better than me, but isn't this the first time, like, one of the good guys dies?
I'm trying to be quiet.
Cedric?
Yeah, it's...
Like, there's no other one where the good guy dies.
Trying to have a...
We're just having our little aside over here, because I was like, Dementors, is that right? Is that Harry Potter, not Lord of the Rings? Dementors. Okay, cool. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
You're thinking Nazgul.
There it is.
Oh, my amazing. God, it's so quiet in here. Dude, just talking, it's like soaking in my voice while I talk. That's trippy.
I hope you didn't lock us in.
That's weird.
Okay.
Ew. Wow. Your voice, like, dies as it leaves your mouth.
It really does.
Makes for good podcasting.
Those panels do a good job.
Yeah.
It's like Hustle and Flow.
It was like egg crates or something.
Yeah, they were.
Your life's like a movie, man.
Like, when he goes to the next door neighbor's house, he's got to get into quiet. He's like, man, here's some weed. Would you just get high and shut up?
I'm just going to cut that as our promo.
So Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. You get Voldemort, which is awesome.
You get Voldemort, you get the Death Eaters, you get the schools from Durmstrang and Beauxbatons.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool arrivals for them.
Yeah, their arrival is sick.
Oh! The Wicked Sisters. Do the Hippogriff, the song they do at the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good.
Pretty rad.
Yeah. I like The Goblet of Fire. I thought it was a fun film.
I do too. It's middle of the pack. It's not as bad as the first two, and it's not as bad
The second one I will give you, because the second movie is just the first movie again. But the first movie literally captured all the magic of those books and put it on screen. Like, dude, no, you cannot argue. Like,
oh, no, he can.
That movie is fantastic. The first movie is so good. Like, you can see the whole world. Like, it's exactly how you imagined it while reading. Like, the casting is perfect. The world building is incredible. The music got John Williams on the score. Like,
mm-hmm. That is a great John Williams score. I'll give you that.
And it's just not as good as all the others.
Ridiculous.
It's a schlocky Christopher Columbus.
What are you talking about? The one thing you definitely can say those actors, like, as young kids,
are great.
Were not the best.
No.
When you look at where they get.
Are you kidding me?
When you look at where they get, they all become an amazing cast as the thing goes on through 8 movies.
Uh-huh.
But where they started is not
rough.
The strongest start.
Especially Daniel Radcliffe.
You're wild. Daniel Radcliffe is incredible.
I solved it. You saw these as a kid. It's different for you. And that's okay.
It's
okay.
Bad.
It's totally hard to find a minority opinion. It is hard to find wizards who can act. You think
that's true? You can't just go out
not
on the street.
Right now. This is ridiculous.
And find some wizards.
I remember thinking, oh, they just picked him because he looks like Harry Potter, not because he's a good actor.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
I remember thinking
he's
that,
so good.
And I think he got
there are parts where he's a little flat, and it's like, I mean, it's not like Jake Lloyd in Star Wars bad, but. There are parts in that first movie where it's like,
this. I thought the movie was really good. And I don't know how we went from 2005 to...
01.
01, was it?
The first
original?
One.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I thought it was great. I thought the kids were wonderful. I mean, whatever.
I would put the first movie up into the top 4 or 5.
We can do a little mini episode.
Where do you think it ranks?
We
Let's
rank
put it that way.
I'd say like 3rd or 4th.
Okay. So we're not like far off there. Okay, Cash clearly is like 8.
The last 3 movies are so good, man.
Ooh.
Oh, dude. And Prisoner of Azkaban is probably number 1.
The only way Prisoner of Half-Blood Prince is a good movie.
Yeah. I really love that one.
I think it's the best book in my opinion, but I don't think it's
that good
of a movie.
We're going to be able to settle this is we all just leave right now. And let's watch them all.
Take a break. Just come back.
Take a break. We'll come back in a couple hours. We only watched them all.
We all have beards that have grown from watching the series.
All right.
Nailed it.
All right, Littell, you're up.
It's my turn.
And now you're on.
Oh, my God.
You got him all revved up. He's angry.
I know. I wanted to take Herbie fully loaded because he's angry.
Right.
Okay, I'll take my comedy, I guess. I will
you going to take the zebra one?
No. I'm going to take... Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Yes.
Ooh, I almost took that for Blockbuster. But yeah, that's a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Oh, definitely a comedy.
Action comedy.
It's hilarious. Vince Vaughn, as Brad Pitt's best friend in that movie, has so many good lines.
Yes. What is mom? Mom!
Mom!
How close you were!
Oh, the whole defending the house scene.
Did you take that for comedy?
Oh, man. Okay. Mm-hmm. The banter between Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie is awesome. The whole time, anytime it's just them talking to each other.
Still alive, fantastic. Honey?
Yeah. It's.
I mean, that's them falling in love in real time.
Yeah, dude.
Ah.
It's fantastic. Because he was with, what's
Jennifer
her name?
Aniston.
Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah, you can't see it and think, oh, boy, that's sad for Jennifer Aniston.
I know. Their chemistry is so good.
Because they're, yeah, I get it.
I like how you said, what's her name, and it's Jennifer Aniston.
Right, well, yeah, I knew it was Jennifer Aniston. The names are coming slow to me this morning. Super
Brad
fun.
Pitt is good. A really good comedic actor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's undervalued as a comedic actor.
For sure.
I think he's undervalued
His
general.
Timing is fantastic. Yeah. I mean.
Ocean's 11.
He's my favorite part of that whole
movie. It is not fair that he looks that good and then also is funny.
Yeah, I won't lie. I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I didn't want to be Brad Pitt when I was younger.
Sure.
So that has some influence on me for sure. But
you can tell, like the hair.
Yeah.
Well, that's what they've always said. He's a character actor in a leading man's body.
Yes.
Like leading men don't do Burn After Reading or...
The Mexican.
Yeah. Oh, my
another
God.
Really
Inglorious Bastards.
Movie.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, man.
He's great in that movie.
He's so great in that movie. What did you think of his Italian?
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Buongiorno.
Gorlami.
I don't remember how they do the number. Like, that's why he's second best because he doesn't speak. Well, that's. He's
I speak
second.
The second most.
Right. What's the movie where he plays Death and he's just talking in all those accents?
Oh God. Devil's Advocate. Meet Joe Black.
Meet Joe Black.
Yeah.
His Jamaican accent is
awesome.
That movie's good, but it's too long.
It is too long.
I would say it's not a good movie.
Oh, I think it is good. The premise is really good.
Part of it is it's too long, but also she's such a terrible actress.
I'll give you that.
She's just staring at him with doughy, crying eyes the entire time.
I will say he makes up for her.
Him doing the Rastafari is very funny.
It's super good.
And when he gets hit by the car,
oh my God, it just gets smoked.
I had no idea that was coming.
It was hilarious.
Oh, it was so funny, man.
Oh God.
Just out of nowhere, too.
Yeah.
I like his expression when he tries peanut butter for the first time. Mm-hmm. Because it really is a kid-like wonderment. Like, oh my God, where has this been my whole life?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that's Mr. and Mrs. Smith, everybody.
So good.
It's funny. Check her up.
All right. So let's see here. So I have Academy Award. I've got Blockbuster. I've got Action Drama. So I need a comedy. I need a Misunderstood, and I need a Wild Card. Which I'm going to go ahead and not take my
good
wild
luck.
Card yet. Because that still just feels like a mistake to me. Okay, so I'm going to go with the Misunderstood one that I feel the most passionately about because I want to make sure that I get it and talk about it a little bit. And that is Ridley Scott's Kingdom of Heaven.
Never saw it.
Really? Oh, my God. If you had been in my world history class, I would have made you watch it at one point, probably right around the time that you were coming through.
So what's this
I know
movie
what this
about?
Movie
yeah,
is.
So it's the Crusades, basically. So it's another, like, historical epic. It's got Orlando Bloom.
Yeah. Ooh, got some interesting reviews.
Ed Norton is in it as, like, the King of Jerusalem or, like, the Prince of Jerusalem. Or it's kind of nebulous exactly what role he's playing. He's fantastic. Oh, who is...
Is Liam Neeson in it?
Yes. Yes. Who plays like his like dad slash, can you say bastard in like the historical context? Because that's basically what he is, right? Like, so he's Orlando Bloom's dad, but like, you know, was off on the crusade on like the first crusade when he was born and then came back and like gives him some pointers and then goes away basically. But yeah, it's, I just really like it. And especially like the theatrical version that came out in 2005, it's kind of trash because it's like a textbook case of studio meddling.
So people are like, saying the director's cut is very
good. The director's cut is 45 minutes longer. And
that
it
sounds
is,
like Ridley Scott.
It is so much better though. It is. It's 100%. I mean, it is it's like the textbook thing you could study like in Ridley Scott's career, which kind of gives him like a whole complex about studios from this point forward in his career. He does a really good job with like the stuff that they cut out were like things that actually drive the plot forward. And the studio was like, nah, you don't need that. You don't need to know the queen's motivation. You don't need to know why she cut her hair in grief. You don't need to know why all this stuff happened. And then when they put it back in, it's like, oh my God, that makes so much more sense now. Like, oh, okay. Now we can see why she does this. Like, why did she open the gates? Ah, that's why. And so it's really cool. Like from sort of a film nerd perspective, looking at it through that lens is really interesting, I think. So that's what I like the most about it.
Never seen it.
Well, then I will.
Both has anybody seen it?
Yeah.
You saw it? Okay.
Yeah. I'm not that big of a fan of it.
Yeah.
I thought it was fine.
Yeah.
The cinematography is pretty amazing.
Like the way he stages battles is just fantastic. And so you've got like trebuchets and those like siege towers.
Tree buckets?
Yeah. Tree buckets, man. That's right. But like, yeah. And that was the first time I'd ever seen anything like that on that scale. And he has like an army of extras that are like storming the walls of this like Middle Eastern town. And
I love when they do
it's
that.
Really well done. Like part is really cool, which is why I showed it in class. Cause I was like, hey, look at this. Like this is medieval warfare. Like,
right.
Here you go.
Now that I know there's a director's cut that makes it sound, cause one of the reasons I did stay away was it just got horrible reviews. And I'm like,
oh yeah,
I don't want to, there are certain movies like, I'll go into it thinking, all right, I'll watch it even though I know it's probably not a good movie or not great. But, like, I'm not going to sit through a long, epic.
Like 3 hour.
Right.
Like Robin Hood with Russell Crowe. It's like, ooh. Oh, my God. This
Ava Green's the queen.
Ah.
And she does excellent in there, too. Especially in the director's cut where you know what she's doing. It's great. But, yeah, I would highly recommend it. I mean, it is 3 hours,
cut.
But you got to watch the director's cut. Ignore the theatrical cut.
I'm putting that parenthetical on your draft pick.
100%.
So, Lemmy, you're up. Back-to-back picks.
All right, the reason why I said I'm screwed is I didn't plan this well.
We know.
I should have taken a Blockbuster for one of the films that I've took earlier.
There's a couple of Blockbusters up there.
No, there's not.
Yeah, huh?
No, there's
one
not.
I'm looking at that's pretty great.
There isn't.
There is.
There
is. There's two, actually. There's two.
There are. There's one that's
decent. Agree to disagree.
No, there are two on here that are pretty good.
Yeah, that or King Kong.
Yeah. Madagascar, Robots, both excellent movies.
You didn't enjoy Hitch?
No, not really.
I thought it was pretty middle.
I almost took it.
Robots.
It was high on my list, too.
Chicken Little.
Robots is awesome, dude.
Madagascar. I like those films, but I wouldn't, to me, they're not, ooh. Like, I try to pick films that I think are really, really good.
Well, this is your fourth pick.
Right.
Yeah.
They're not all going to be A+.
Well, unless you're me.
I don't even think I'm good. Okay. So I'm going to take
Madagascar.
No, I'm not.
Save Blockbuster for last. I want to see what you end up with. Take Wild Card and Misunderstood now.
You don't need it.
I'm going to take as my wild card now.
Yes.
Because.
Why did you listen
to Crash? Man, I got a bunch of good Oscar ones. Man, I screwed this up. But anyway.
You really wanted Hustle and Flow.
Yeah, I did. I did. And that was dumb because look at how many other Oscar ones I could have picked
later. I know.
Yeah, there's a lot of Oscar on there.
Dang it.
But you could still take it for Wild Card.
No. For Wild Card, I'm going to go with Sin City.
Good movie.
Ooh.
Nice.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a great one for Wild Card.
I'm a little surprised it didn't get up into Blockbuster, honestly. Like, it feels like it was bigger.
I don't understand why it did not. And as far as imagery, cinematography, use of CGI, the black white, the way
very
the
innovative
color,
war kind of way that they
so good.
Yeah, how do you never?
Yeah,
when I saw the trailer and I saw what they were trying to do, I thought, well, this is gonna fail spectacularly.
It's gonna be a train wreck.
What the hell are you trying to do? Yeah. Try to take that comic and put it on. I don't know. Is comic the right word?
Yeah, it is.
It's a graphic novel.
Graphic novel.
And try to use that imagery on a screen. Like,
but it looks
this
cool.
is.
Reminds me of Max Payne a little bit, if you ever played that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and then you watch 300. You're like, oh, here's where Zack Snyder got all
style.
His.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well, it's the same author. It's Frank Miller.
Frank Miller. Yeah.
Frank Miller's that guy, dude. He's so good.
And like that visual style that he has. Like, I don't remember who the graphic artist is that works with him on almost all of those, but like that style, just like it shows you, like, here's what you should do. Like, you've already got the storyboards for the movie done. Like, here you go.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I completely agree. That style is just striking.
And it's cool when a director breaks away from what he normally does. Like, when you've got, you know, Robert Rodriguez, who's done Desperado and Dusk Till Dawn, everything that he's done up until then, and then he does Sin City, you're like, oh man, this is putting him in this kind of auteur noir version of what he normally does, and it's just different. Oh man.
100%.
So good.
Clive Owen's good. Is it Mickey Rourke? Is he in?
Yeah,
he's the
that was kind of like his
and the
comeback.
Guy that Clive Owen beats up, puts
Marv.
His head in the toilet.
Oh.
Isn't that Mickey Rourke's character that he does that? No, that
I
is
I thought
that.
It was the...
You're right. That's not the same character. My bad.
You got a lot of great... you got Bruce Willis. You got Jessica Alba. You've got Nick Offerman is the thug, the bald guy in the car.
Is he really?
Yeah,
that's Nick Offerman, yeah.
That's wild.
Glug or whatever his name is. He's got a goofball thug name.
Nah, I like
the Yellow Man.
It
scared
so
me when I first saw it.
Yes.
I was like, oh, this is creepy.
It's such a good original IP. I wish they'd do more with it. Like, it feels real. Did they make a TV show for this?
There was a sequel. Did anybody see A Dame to Kill For?
I heard it sucked.
I didn't watch it.
I didn't see it.
Don't recall.
I heard
maybe
it
a
bad.
Scene or two, but no.
Oh,
I said
Carla Gugino. I've been in love with
her
for
my goodness.
Ever.
Yeah, she's great in this. So,
Tobey Maguire?
On the IMDb, it says
Elijah Wood.
Directors.
Elijah Wood. Yeah.
Also creepy looking with those glasses.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Menacing.
What was that?
On the IMDb, it says there's three directors. Frank Miller, Quentin Tarantino, and Robert Rodriguez.
Wow.
So Tarantino directed one scene.
Okay.
I don't remember which one. I think it's by the docks, maybe. And I don't know. I think Frank Miller, they might have just... That might just be a
credit for.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I could be wrong. I don't know.
Well, I imagine they storyboarded it a lot based off his comic panels.
I mean,
the movie looks like a storyboard, really.
Yeah.
Like, here's everything you need to do. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That's a good. Right. Pick.
You got Misunderstood and Blockbuster.
I'm doing Misunderstood.
Yes.
I'm doing a movie.
Yes.
That you may have never heard of called Derailed. Clive
we
Owen.
We talked about this movie,
correct.
Didn't we?
Clive
Jennifer
Owen.
Jennifer what's her name?
Aniston. What's her name?
What's her name?
You're not taking Ice Harvest?
No, because I've already done that. I didn't want to repeat it. And I really do like Ice Harvest.
Arvin took Jaws like 10 times.
Is it available?
I didn't want to.
If it's on a list, I'm taking it.
I have said what I needed to say about Ice Harvest. I didn't want to go there again.
That's fine.
Derailed. Derailed is 20%, which.
That seems low. That's not that bad of a movie.
So you've seen it?
I've seen it, yeah.
Yeah, I like.
The train can't go below a certain speed.
Yes,
pretty,
yeah. That's
pretty
exactly,
sure that's called speed.
That's exactly it.
Sandra Bullock's in it, right?
Yeah,
and Keanu.
Sure.
Vincent Cassel, is that how you say his last name?
So tell us how
Castle.
This is.
I would say speed. Castle.
Castle,
the okay. bad guy from Ocean's 12.
Yeah, he plays the fox, the French guy who steals stuff.
Quick
yeah.
question, and I'm sorry for my ignorance here. Is this true? Is this actually what the plot of this movie is?
Oh, that thing? What he was saying?
Speed on a train.
No.
Okay,
no,
thank
no,
God.
No.
He was messing around.
Okay.
Jennifer Aniston plays a woman who seduces people on the subway or in public, and then they'll blackmail them later on down the road. So that's the basic premise.
Okay.
And then it just spins out of control when they...
It derails.
It derails when they bring in Clive Owen. And... There's cons and twists. I thought it was a fun movie when it was all said and done, how it all plays out. And you end up seeing, like, Clive Owen's family because Vincent comes to visit him at home because the blackmail works because he's married. She lures married men. But I thought it was really good, and I was shocked to see it only got 20%.
Oh.
So, yeah, I had two really good – Actually, I had four really good Misunderstood. You took one, Lords of Dogtown.
Great.
Ice Harvest was another one. I didn't want to take that from, I didn't want to do that again. So I went with Derailed.
Yeah.
Arvin, you're up.
All right.
Comedy and wild card.
I'm going to take for my comedy, The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Interesting.
I was wondering,
yeah.
not if you were going to take it, but when you were going to take it.
Yeah. Yep. And this is that spot. Because... because I like it, call me weird, but I like it, having my wild card as my last pick just so I can be like, well, oh, yeah. No, I didn't think about this. I'll pick it now. You know, that kind of thing. So, yeah, Hitchhiker's Guide. Really love it. Sam Rockwell is so good in this. Like, he's just fantastic. I really enjoyed it. It's very much that, like, Douglas Adams, very British, dry sense of humor about it. Alan Rickman as the robot, who's
yes.
basically depressed, is
good
like,
cast.
He is comedy gold. Like, basically everything he says is hilarious. Okay, I guess.
The main guy is Martin Freeman, right?
That. Yes. Yeah, Martin Freeman's fantastic. Orlando, not Bloom, but Orlando...
Jones.
Is really good in it as well. He had a minute, like, right around here.
He's the one in Office Space, the black guy who's selling magazines.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
The 7-Up guy.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. I think it has a good cast. Really enjoyed the movie.
It's probably the best adaptation of the series I've seen so far.
Oh, for sure.
It's hard to adapt those stories into film.
It's really hard to do that. And I think this is by far the best shot at it that they've had. For sure. For sure.
All right.
Getting Sam Rockwell in it is always a good idea.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And Alan Rickman.
Have you read all
I can't, like, Alan those Rickman. Two, yeah. Like, if you don't have those two guys, the movie completely falls apart, yeah. But...
Have you read the...
So good.
Five books?
I've read three of them. I haven't read all of them, though.
Okay.
No, I mostly because of this movie. Like, I've read the first one and saw this, and then I was like, oh, it's so good, I'm gonna get into it. So I got into it, and then I was like, okay, I'm out of it now.
Have you ever listened to the radio broadcast?
I thought he was
no.
just going to end it with that.
So when Douglas Adams wrote the book, the first way he gave it to the public was over the radio. So they would do like
War of the Worlds.
Yeah. They would read parts of the book and give characters to people. It was
it's
really
all
cool.
Connected.
This is like a Seinfeld episode, the way we keep connecting things. Mm-hmm.
The A plot, the B plot, the C plot.
Right. Mm-hmm. What's her name?
Littell, you've got Oscar and Wildcard left.
just go ahead and take your wild
good
card.
Oscar fine. Movies, man.
Yeah.
There's a ton of good Oscar movies.
There are.
I screwed this up.
Okay, I'm going to take my Oscar. And I'm going to take Wallace and Gromit, The Were-Rabbit, Curse of the Were-Rabbit.
I did not see that coming at
me
all.
Me neither.
And I love Wallace and Gromit.
Me too. It's fantastic.
I was a little surprised you hadn't taken it.
It was this or Capote, and I've seen Wallace and Gromit more, and I like it more. So,
was this also a blockbuster?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not.
But it's a great movie.
Trust me, I would have taken it then.
Genuinely, it's one of the best stop motion movies I've ever seen.
For half a second there, I thought you were right. I was going to be really pissed at myself.
Have you all seen
it? No, it's not.
I like the Wallace and Gromit shorts more than I like this movie, but I like the movie.
I thought the movie was really well done.
The play on words that they always do is really fun.
Well, it's just super funny, and the voice acting is great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a really well done stop motion movie.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best I've ever seen. Probably this and like Kubo, probably the best stop motion movies I've ever seen.
It's tragic, you know, like all of their whoever the producers are, the people who put these things together, like all of their sets and pieces all went down in a fire.
I didn't know that.
That's why there's a huge pause, because the guys were like, first off, to do these movies, it takes years us to do this,
mm-hmm.
and all of their stuff went up in a fire.
Man.
That's messed up, dude. Yeah. That's
you
so
should Google it, read about it later on, because when I read it, they said they were done. They were never doing anything again.
Well, that much of your life put into it, I mean.
But I think since then, there's been one or two things that have popped up. But, yeah, it wasn't that long ago. I want to say, when I say not that long ago, 7 years or so when this happened.
Well, that made me sad.
Yeah, I was very disappointed because I love their stuff. They're fun.
All right, I'm up. My last two picks. For comedy, I am going to take Hitch.
Nice.
Could have gone in blockbuster. It's good. I like movies that are.
This is Will Smith, right?
And Kevin
Will Smith,
James.
Kevin James.
Kevin James.
Who's the lead lady?
Eva Mendes is a big reason why I'm taking this.
She's pretty fine.
Eva Mendes in 05
she's
was
pretty fine.
Pretty she special for your boy.
White fine, dude.
But this is just a few years after Dao of Steve, so like the whole here's how you get chicks shtick.
Yeah.
Big fan of that growing up. It's again funny when you take like a dumb comedy like this, pretty gorgeously shot. Like there's some real scenes where you're like, dang, this is really a beautiful scene for kind of a goofy, quirky movie.
Yeah. Who was the cinematographer?
No idea. But like when they show like his dream woman.
Yeah,
on the boat, mm-hmm. and then Eva Mendes.
That is really like pretty.
It's the sun shining through. Big fan.
I still feel like her best movie is The Other Guys. Man,
you know, a real hot take for me is I do not like The Other Guys.
Wow,
I do not like that movie at all.
What's it like being you?
It's so funny. You guys are nuts.
The funniest part of that whole movie.
Wait, you don't like it either?
I don't.
Oh.
And I really wanted to because I like the character, the actors. I watched it. And it's like,
killing off.
It's not a good time, Bob.
Killing off The Rock and Samuel Jackson was the biggest mistake, dude. But they're the funniest part of the whole movie.
No, they're not.
Yes, easily
no
the funniest
way.
Part.
No
not
way.
Even close.
There are moments of The Other Guys that I think is good, but as a movie, when the movie ended, I thought, kind of a letdown for me.
I am genuinely baffled.
Wow. This is shaking a little bit of my worldview.
I cannot believe. But to say it's bad.
Oh, I would have called it a universally beloved comedy.
Yeah, it's so underrated because it's never mentioned with the Will Ferrells.
It's not underrated.
I'm not
People
saying
like
bad.
That movie.
I think it's underrated.
I'm not saying
he's bad. Before this, I would have said that, but now maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think it is underrated. I'm not going bad. What's the review on that movie?
Man.
Because everyone I know likes that movie, and I don't.
How is it whenever we do this, we start talking about movies that nobody has actually picked or even in the year? But
that one was my fault.
And it's so contentious.
And now all of a sudden we're talking about the other guys. I don't even know what year that was.
Oh.
2011.
Yeah.
Or 2010.
Yeah.
Well, when we do that, you're splicing this audio. It's
79% on the tomato meter, but only a 60% on the audience score. So it's like a reverse.
That's nuts. It's so funny.
It's all right.
That's 100%.
It's an okay movie. It is. It's so mid.
Well, that's better than
so
saying
So what
it's
else
bad.
Did we want to talk about with Hitch?
I was a little hyperbolic.
I'm sorry. That was my fault.
You don't like Kevin James, though, right?
He's all right.
Okay. I didn't think you were a Kevin James. Like, you don't think he's a good stand-up comic, yes?
Oh, he was brilliant stand-up.
I was about to say, his stand-up is like really
him trying to find the right card.
Yeah, fantastic.
And him eating the apples at a baseball game. That's a he's good very bit. Funny.
Okay. I
don't like
reason,
him in sitcoms much.
I thought King of Queens was amazing.
You do?
I love that show. There's probably some other guy I don't like, but Kevin James, big fan.
Are you being sincere when you say you think King of Queens is amazing?
I think it's very, very funny.
I think it's very funny, too, but it's I like it.
Amazing for a sitcom.
Right, okay. Because you and I would, I think, agree that it's basically just ripping off The Honeymooners for the most part.
That's
what
my
sitcom's
problem.
Not, though.
Well,
everything's either the Flintstones.
Yeah. That's a little bit more.
Stiller's dad in that show is pretty funny.
Yeah. I like the show.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. The first 5-6 seasons of it, I find very funny. Mm-hmm. It gets a little tiresome.
Oh, really? I feel like the first couple seasons are bad, but like it finds its way. Like season 3-4.
Potato, potato.
Okay.
Any show that has any kind of life like that is about that. It's a little rough at the start. Really, really, really good, and then it may be held on for a season or two too long.
Fair. Yeah.
I feel like that's pretty common for most shows.
Yeah. Hitch, guys.
For Misunderstood. For Misunderstood, I am going
to
take...
what we're
going to
talk about next.
Well, gear up, because there's plenty to talk about Ryan Reynolds. I'm taking Waiting as my Misunderstood.
Nice. Oh,
I
nice.
I don't even know if I've seen this.
Oh, you haven't seen this movie?
Ryan.
Not the servers.
Is this the one that they made into the
Justin
Broadway
Long
musical, or is that
Anna Faris?
Okay. I have seen this. I didn't know that's what it was called. What
Dane
was that?
Cook.
Is this the one that they made into a Broadway musical too, or is that The Waitress? I think it's The Waitress.
I don't with Kerry Russell.
I think so.
I think that's the musical.
That's the one. Yeah.
No, this is just a very dumb, stupid company movie about
on Comedy Central every day growing up.
David Koechner as the manager.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
Oh, it's so nasty when they make that B words order.
Are you ever scared of sending food back after watching that movie?
And he starts to do guacamole with a snack. He's like, oh, you can't mix Mexican and Continental. Luis Guzman. Dude.
Luis Guzman.
That's a really, really, really funny movie. And it's got horrible reviews, of course. But
yeah, well, it's
what's
very
it at?
Like 29, maybe?
Okay.
Arvin's got the
machine. I got you.
Did you say The Machine?
The Machine.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of cringe
29%
moments.
It's a real raunchy movie.
Nice job.
I'm not going to say it's appealing to the highest common denominator or anything, but
it's quite the turnaround, though, because its audience score was 75%.
Yeah. It's raunchy. It's silly. Yeah.
Right. And it's exactly what you think it's going to be when you go to see it. Like, oh, okay. Yeah, no, it's...
It feels like
it's hell to work in this diner, and these people are dealing with that.
My last movie, what is it? Miscellaneous?
Miscellaneous. Yes. Hodgepodge. Potpourri.
Potpourri. I'm going to pick a movie that is near and dear to my heart that I've seen many times. It's my, I'd say, probably favorite animated movie in my top five for sure.
Madagascar.
It is Howl's Moving Castle.
Ooh. Could have been an Oscar.
Interesting.
Great, great, great voice acting. We got Christian Bale as Hal. Who else? Oh my God, it's so stacked with voice actors. Sean Wallace, I think, is Calcifer.
I'm going to be of no service to you in this endeavor. I apologize.
Hold on.
I've never seen it.
We'll get. Are you
same?
It's Japanese anime, man. You know how I feel.
Is this Miyazaki?
Yes.
Is that the huge
Studio Ghibli? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wasn't it just recently re-released?
I don't know.
I feel like my feel like Bella went to the theater to see this just within the last couple of years.
They do like once a month they'll re-release one of the Ghibli movies just so people can see it in
theaters. I think she went to this. I feel like she did. She likes these movies.
So we got
it's got Josh Hutcherson.
Christian Bale, Gene Simmons, Emily Mortimer, Josh Hutcherson, Billy Crystal. Who else? I mean, that's pretty.
Gene Simmons, like Kiss?
Kiss, the lady.
Okay. Well, I don't think it would have been the craziest thing. Gotcha.
It's really good.
Lauren Bacall?
Yeah.
How did they get Lauren Bacall? Emily Mortimer? Yeah. How did they get Lauren Bacall to do this?
It's so good. It is so good. You would enjoy this movie.
Oh, I doubt that.
Well done. No, it is very well
done. I get they got some cool actors doing some cool voices. I don't like that style of animation.
It is beautifully animated. Have you seen it? Obviously not. Like I would look up a couple clips. No, I'm just saying, like, look up a couple clips.
I've seen trailers of all these of studio.
You remind me of Calcifer a lot.
Okay,
I think you would relate to him greatly.
How'd you feel about
that means?
He's how'd you feel about Kill Bill?
I like Kill Bill.
The anime when they tell her backstory.
Oh, that one. But that's
not what this
that's
is.
That's like a 5-minute
You sure? That's not the same?
That's not the same at all.
Yeah. That's
I just wanted to mention a movie not from this year.
It's gorgeously shot.
I'm sure. Listen, I feel I am not criticizing that style of art.
It feels like you are directly.
I don't like it. I don't know.
That's only because of his tone.
I just I don't enjoy it. Also the
words it feels awfully coded.
Maybe it's because when I was a little kid, they would put on Saturday mornings for all of our enjoyment, which none of us actually enjoyed, Speed Racer. And Speed Racer sucked. It was horrible.
I'm telling you, this movie the animation was sucked. Like Speed Racer.
Is it like Pokemon?
The voices are going, and the only thing good about Speed Racer was that little monkey that was running around with the group. But they didn't give him enough screen time. So, yeah. I don't know what to tell you, brother.
It's just a good movie.
Time That's for the SpongeBob meme. It's 3 hours later.
Look up the reviews, man. It's very well praised.
Oscar nom.
Just because it got good reviews doesn't mean I'm going to think it's good.
It's never mind. I can't do this.
Listen, I am not criticizing your pick. I'm telling you, I don't like the art. Universally,
adored. I mean,
is.
Here's people the thing: love the 88% on Rotten Tomatoes and 93% audience score.
Wild card is left. For Mr. Arvin.
Ah, excellent. Tis my time.
Yeah, you only got like 100 movies to pick from.
Right? I'm going to go with Cinderella Man.
Thank God someone took it.
Oh, my gosh. Love this. This is another movie that I showed in class. And
makes me cry.
I've seen it a lot, and it's just so well done. And this is coming to you from a person who truly, hate is a strong word, but I really, really, really don't like Renee Zellweger.
Ooh,
and okay. I know it's a hot take.
Where did that start? Where'd that come from?
I don't know.
Probably
Bridget Jones and having to watch it a lot with my first wife. So
Say no more.
So there's just that stuff there probably. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I think she's really good in this movie. Russell Crowe's fantastic. Like the kids are good. Paul Giamatti's fantastic.
That's all you gotta say.
The cast is just stacked. And like I don't think I would have come close to seeing this movie in 2005, even though I absolutely loved Gladiator. And now, like, I mean, it's one of my favorite Russell Crowe movies. So yeah, I'm gonna put it up there as my wild card, and I'm so glad it lasted this long.
I mean, it's like
I'm surprised it did.
I am too. Like I thought for sure somebody else would grab it, so I kind of was like, "All right, there's a couple other ones that maybe I could make a case for." But
well, if I wasn't a complete dumbass, I would have done this differently, and Cinderella Man would be on my list.
Do we want to take guesses on what Salami's going to take for Blockbuster?
Did you leave Blockbuster to the very end?
He sure did.
Oh my dear,
I had
gentle
five
God.
Really good ones, so I figured I was. I
How
don't
many
think
do you have
that
left?
You might take.
This is turning into a ball buster for you.
Do you have any of them left?
Let's go.
Wedding Crashers, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Walk the Line, Batman Begins, and Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire.
I tell you what.
Star Wars.
I like to try to take it first or second, like all the time, just because I'm always worried that, especially Blockbuster, is going to wear out. And this time, like, it's usually Academy Award or Blockbuster. And I was like, there's so many Academy Award ones. Like, I can get whatever I want. There's like 12 on my list.
Nobody took Brokeback Mountain. Nobody took.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was on my list. Movie. I mean,
Munich, History of Violence. Munich is on my list, too.
Yeah. There was a lot of stuff. Good Night and Good Luck. I really like that.
A History of Violence, last movie to be released on VHS.
Interesting.
Until.
Wow.
Alien Romulus.
Yeah, they did have a special VHS.
They released a version of Alien Romulus on VHS, which is now.
Why?
Nostalgia?
Yeah.
But how are you going to watch it?
Well, you know, just in case you wanted to, like, you know, complete your collection of Alien, Aliens, and Alien Romulus, like.
Which has got to be the highest quality
You probably have Alien 3 in there, but you probably don't have.
Alien versus Predator on VHS?
I feel like that's
maybe Resurrection. Maybe you've got that.
We're going to re-release.
I don't
want to
judge you. You probably don't, but that's fine.
Did we ever. Good night and good luck? Anybody?
No, I was on my list.
George Clooney.
Love that movie.
Oh yeah, it's fantastic.
So you're gonna take Longest Yard?
No.
Hold on. We got Chicken Little, Fantastic Four, King Kong, Chronicles of Narnia,
Fantastic Four,
The Pacifier, cool. Fun with Dick and Jane.
Please don't take
Robots. This sucks.
Take Robots.
Dude. Madagascar.
I know. Robots is better than
Madagascar. I already wrote it in, but to be honest with you, in hindsight, I'm gonna do this because
he wrote down King Kong, but he's crossing it out.
Yep, yeah, that's what I would have gone.
The Jack
with.
Black okay. King Kong.
I am gonna go
the Jack
with
Black King Kong.
Robots.
Robots is better.
It's Robin
good.
Williams.
It is.
Yeah, it's kind of
it's funny.
Classic Robin Williams going all over the place. It is a good story, and it also has the voice of Ewan McGregor, right? Isn't he?
I think he's the main robot, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And it is fun. It's very, very animation.
The animation's really cool.
Right. It very creative, the world that they created. So,
yeah,
while it's not a movie, I mean,
I like
would have taken, but overall, as far as blockbusters go, it's
considering
very
what's
creative.
Left.
Right. Yeah. And robots.
That's fair.
I like when they go into Big Bot's office.
Yeah.
Like the domino scene. That's great.
Oh, that's Big Bot is it Mel Brooks' voice?
That's Mel Brooks. I didn't
Who's
know
Big
that.
Big Bot's voice. Ah, it's.
Let's see here. He's Big Weld.
Yeah, Big Weld.
Big Weld is Mel Brooks.
Is Mel Brooks.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and the more I think about it, I kind of forgot how creative that it was. And then the wordplay that they use on different things. Robin
Jennifer
Williams
Coolidge
is, great.
Is in this?
Yes.
Amanda Bynes, Drew Carey, Terry Bradshaw.
That's crazy.
Wow.
Jim Broadbent.
Fun. That's a fun movie. Dude.
Paul Giamatti.
Ah.
Tim nice. The Gate Guard.
Yo, yeah, he is Tim.
He's hilarious.
Dude, the little puppet robot. He is so funny. Yeah.
So what you guys are saying is I should probably watch this.
It's real fun.
Oh, you've never seen it?
I've never seen it.
Neither have I.
I'm surprised you haven't with your Robin Williams.
I love Robin Williams, but it was a cartoon in 05. I wasn't going to watch it.
Oh, dude,
yeah, but the world they create is really
that's
pretty
for
unique.
Babies.
It's really unique.
It makes sense. How old were you in 2005?
16, going 16. On 17.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
2005, my kids were 4 and 3. We
went
to the theater to
watch it. Sophomore, junior year.
Yeah.
It's amazing the difference that, like, 7 years makes between, like, the way that you view things. I mean... Yeah,
I saw robots maybe every day for
how long?
A year growing up.
And you didn't take
this
it?
This was your senior year in high school?
Was it like DVD or what were you watching as a senior in high school? Hey, 2014 was hard.
I'm sorry.
All right, well done, guys.
We did it.
Good draft. Ticket Studs out.
We love you.